Well, we're in our third week in our series of messages on the 23rd Psalm. And I hope you did your homework this past week. I've been giving everybody homework, and I'm going to be giving homework again this week. And it's all for the good. It's all to help us and encourage us in our walk with the Lord and the realization that we do have a good shepherd who cares for us and who loves us and who tends us and keeps us in his safety. And I see we're back on the air right now with Facebook. We cut off and now we're back on. So hello to everybody watching by Facebook this morning. The 23rd Psalm is, we're naming this series Sheepish. Ever been called sheepish? My mother used to say that, especially when I was hiding something from her or wasn't coming out with the truth. She said, "Why are you looking so sheepish?" Well, I'm sure as God looks at us sometimes, he says that we're sheepish. And we are like sheep, as the Bible says. We've all gone astray. Every one of us have gone our own way. And we are just plain sheepish some days. And sometimes we're miserably sheepish. I'm not sure if that's good English or not. But we are sheepish. And sometime, as we think of the 23rd Psalm especially, we have reason to be hopeful and reason to be encouraged, because there's a reason why Psalm 23 is the most popular of all the Psalms. It has a powerful message. And when you put it into practice, it changes our lives. It brings about not just reformation, but it brings about rejuvenation. It brings about reconciliation. And all of us are called to, all of us are placed in the hands of our good shepherd, whereby he is able to do exceedingly more than what we ask or think. There was a guy 50 years ago, his name was Charles Adams. And he wrote a book called God's Psychiatry. And in it, he talks about the power contained in these few words. And he tells the story of a friend who came to him one day. And the friend was falling apart. He was nervous. He was tense. Everything was just going wrong in his life. And he had literally worried himself sick. And so his doctor, unable to help him, suggested that he would talk to a minister. And Alec, he talked with the man for a while, and then he took a pad of paper that was on his desk in front of him, and he says, "If you went to see an MD, a medical doctor, he would give you a prescription." So he said, "That's what I'm going to do to you today. I'm going to give you a prescription. That as you leave this place, you'll have this prescription in hand. And if you follow this prescription properly, as I write it, 5 times a day, 7 days a week, I want you to read prayerfully and study the 23rd Psalm and see if that will be something that will help in this terrible time you're going through. And when you get up in the morning, before each meal and at bedtime, read the 23rd Psalm and put God to the test and see what he will do if you listen to what he's saying to you." And so the man agreed to do it, and then he, within a week, this friend of his returned to him as a totally different person altogether. His life had been changed. His attitudes had been changed. He was not like he was a week or so or 2 weeks before that, because God was able to get a hold of him as he read and as he meditated and as he studied the 23rd Psalm. I believe that's something that God could do in our lives as well. And if you remember these words and you let them live in your heart and in your mind and allow God to use these words in every situation you're involved in, it will make a big difference. So let's say it together, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. Now, I got mixed up there. I better make sure I know it. I thought I knew it. verse 3. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Okay? And he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right. He restoreth my soul. That's what we want to look at today. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Today's verse is about purpose. God wants us to have purpose in our lives. And you've already heard messages, I'm sure, on purpose and what God's purpose is for your life and how you can find out what God's purpose is and know in your own heart what your purpose here on this earth really is. God's purpose, number one, is that we have a relationship with Him through His Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His purpose is that we might know the truth, so that that truth will set us free every single day of our lives. And so it's about having a direction in life. It's about how God can take a life that is basically going nowhere, or at least nowhere good, and lead it to somewhere. Lead it to somewhere great. There are truths that remind us of the kind of shepherd we have, the good shepherd. They remind us that his shepherding skills are always with us, and that as his sheep, we can be confident in this one very thing, that he who began a good work in us will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ, or until we see him face to face. There are three things I want to share with you very briefly. Number one, as we look at this verse here, verse 3 today, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Number one is the fact that he'll get us on our feet. He'll get us back on our feet. If you've fallen down, if you've stumbled along the way, if you have missed your step, if you have gone the wrong way, if you have fallen, God says that he will get you on your feet. He says he restoreth my soul. Now, I've shared with you already about my days as a kid looking after the sheep in Cape Breton in the Margaree Valley. And I've shared with you about the experience, some of the experiences I had and what I learned about sheep and how those stinky sheep sometimes I can identify with. And I've learned about many things. One of the things I learned about sheep when I was a kid, my father told me about this, and he said, this is something you need to watch out for, because when I send you up in the evening, up into the field, where most of the sheep are gathered, and they're all snuggled together for the night, they're usually up in the corner of a field, he says, this is one thing I want you to look out for. I want you to make sure that there's no sheep who are lying with their feet up in the air. And he says, if you do, well, number one, see if they're still alive. And number two, especially if it's a sheep that's about to lamb or have babies, make sure that they can get on their feet again. Because a pregnant sheep finds it almost impossible to get on their feet, especially if they're lying down and their back is against the ground. And, well, I guess human beings are that way too sometimes. But especially when a sheep is about to give birth, she's heavy, that sheep has extra weight, and she'll just lie there. And they will flail frantically, struggling to get back up. And for some sheep, they will actually die right there without getting back up. So oddly, you know, in this condition, they just lay there. They become frightened. They panic. And if the shepherd doesn't arrive on the scene within a short time, that sheep may very well die. For this reason, the shepherd must always be on the lookout for a fallen sheep. Now, my father used to send me up into that pasture looking for those kind of sheep. And I do remember finding one or two here and there occasionally, and I'd help them get back on their feet. And as I thought of this 23rd Psalm, I thought of how God does the same thing to us. God wants to help us get back on our feet. God wants to set us up straight. God is on the lookout today, I believe, for fallen sheep, for sheep who cannot get up on their own, and they need His help. You know, as I remember those sheep, we used to have coyotes, and we'd have a lot of black bears too. Black bears wasn't good to have a black bear. We lost several sheep because of black bears, the sheep would become easy prey. Well, it's no different for us because we are easy prey for the devil. We are easy prey for the things of this world. We are easy prey of those things that seek to destroy us. There was a commercial on a while back, and it may run occasionally, and it's this lady who has fallen in the bathroom who says, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." Remember that? Yeah. So, you know, we're like that. We've fallen, we can't get up without God's help, without His strength. And we've fallen from grace. That's our natural situation. We've fallen because of sin. We have fallen because of the depravity of the soul. We have fallen because of many times our own actions. The fact that many times we are our own worst enemies. We've fallen because of the predator who is out there seeking to devour us, seeking to destroy us, seeking to do us in. But God doesn't want us to fall. He wants us to be standing upright. He helps us get on our feet. He encourages us to walk with Him. So the encouragement I see in this great verse is that if we've fallen down, if we're sure in a situation we can't get out of it, our shepherd, our good shepherd, is looking out for us because he wants to come along and get us on our feet and establish us in his word, establish us in knowing and having a purpose for life, which he is able to do. Infusing us with His Holy Spirit. And so if we call on Him, the Bible says He'll come to us. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. He'll hold us very close, and He'll put us on our feet, and He'll help us to walk every step of the way by faith. The second thing I notice here is that He'll not only help us on our feet, but He'll get us moving in the right direction. Look at the second part of that verse. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness. That's what David says here. Some animals seem to have an inner compass that enables them to find their way, but not sheep, because sheep are pretty stupid. Sheep have a difficult time finding their way. Once they begin to wander, they rarely find their way back to the flock. And I remember time and time again, my brothers and I would have to go looking for the sheep that had just kind of wandered away. And we'd find them, and we'd have to bring them back. Sometimes we'd tie a rope around their bellies and just drag them down the hill and place them with the rest of the sheep. That's how we had to do it. Because sheep do not want to be driven. They will follow, but they don't want to be driven. You sometimes have to lasso them sheep style in order to get them to be in the proper place. So they do have that inner compass that enables them to wander away, the same as we wander away. And part of the problem, you know, of sheep is that they have limited vision. It's likely they're nearsighted. They cannot see more than, you know, than 10 or 15 yards ahead of them. They have limited vision, and they only know what's in front of them right then and there and immediately. And so it's difficult for them to plan their steps far ahead, and I should say far into the future as well. And we're the same way. We sometimes find it difficult to align our steps so that we know what's ahead of us. Sometimes the only thing we think about and care about is what's before us at the moment, in the very present time that we're in. We tend sometimes not to think about tomorrow. I had a son that we tried to help get some goals in their in his life, because he was without a vision. He was without purpose, and he resorted to other things that satisfied him in the moment, without looking to the future. And so, we believe that God is doing a work in him right now, because he's starting to think about the future. He's starting to think about what he's here for and what his purpose is all about. All of us are the same way. We tend to focus only on one thing at a time and are often oblivious to where it's taking us over the long haul. We're all that way. Some people are focused on nothing more than making money. Some people are focused on only business or achieving success or fame, or making themselves popular in this world of ours. They can see in their nearsighted vision the next step to take in order to earn one more dollar, and they don't see the vacuum they're creating in the other areas of their lives. And so that can be very disastrous for them. They don't see how neglecting their family or their health or their spiritual life will come back and haunt them in the years to come. And so as people, we tend to be nearsighted. We don't seem to think ahead in the future very much, unless we're forced to, unless there's something that really drives us and gives us purpose. The good news is that God wants to give us purpose. He wants to give us 20/20 vision. And I want to encourage you to put your shepherd in the close range vision. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I want to encourage you to look to the future, that he will guide your steps in the way you should go. And when David said, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness," he was saying that God gives him a direction in life. He was saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I know that my life is going to go places. I know that my life is going to go somewhere, that I'm moving in the right direction. God wants us to move in the right direction. He wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. He wants to walk in his truth, in the Word of God. He wants us to do that. And I believe that God gives each person who asks for a big picture in our lives, He grants that to us when we call out to Him in faith. God will give us a vision of what He wants to accomplish in our lives. He'll give us purpose. He'll give us goals. He'll give us dreams. And He'll give us hopes and plans. God will give us the desires of our hearts, as the psalmist says. He will grant that to us. He will give us purpose to pursue all the days of our lives. And then as we near the end of our days, however long the Lord has given us on this earth, we'll be able to look back and see what He has done. For they will be marvelous in our eyes. They will be marvelous as we think of what He has done. And so, that's why I think it's so important that we cling to the Word of God. The Word of God gives us purpose. The Word of God gives us hope. The Word of God gives us direction. It's our guidebook. It's our map to not only success, but to glorifying the Lord. In Psalm 1 it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. God's Word is perfect, converting the soul. It is perfect in every way. So the shepherd gets us back on our feet. He gets us moving in the right direction. And finally, He'll use us for His glory. He will use us for His glory. And that's what it's all about. The chief aim of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, says the Westminster Confession of Faith. And so David uses the phrase here, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For His name's sake. For His name's sake, this phrase appears several times throughout the Bible, from cover to cover. For His name's sake is given over and over again. Nevertheless, in Psalm 106, verse 8, nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power to be known. And it was also used by the Apostle John, if you look in the Gospel of John. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, John says, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake, or for His glory. What does that phrase mean, for His name's sake? It really literally means for His glory, for His honor, so that He would be glorified. God wants the world to know Him. He wants each and every person to know Him, to experiencing Him. He's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance and faith. And He wants the world to know that He is a God of love, that He is a God of consuming power, that He is a God of justice, that He is a God of tender mercy. And He wants the whole world to know that He is like a gentle shepherd that leads His people into green pastures. That is just who our great shepherd is. And so Isaiah wrote that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. Every single one of us were born in sin. And until we come to know Christ, we will still be in sin. When we come to Christ, He forgives us. He gives us the promise of eternal life if we repent of our sins and turn to Him. He says that we will have a home waiting for us in heaven someday. God says that we become His sheep and we are prone to wander. And as that hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're prone to fall. We're prone to mess things up. We're prone to repeat mistakes of the past. And I want you to know that in spite of our self-destructive tendencies, in spite of sometimes ourselves being our own worst enemies, God's nature does not change. He remains our caring, tender, loving shepherd. Shepherd of life. When we fall, he picks us up. He sets us on our feet. He gets us moving in the right direction. He does this because of who he is. It brings him glory. It brings him honor when he's able to rescue you and bring you out of the miry clay. Because in doing so, he demonstrates who he is. He demonstrates his glory. He demonstrates his love for you in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. So, here's the homework for next week as I close this morning. Again, memorize Psalm 23, verse 3. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And verse 3, he restoreth my soul. God is in the business of restoring our souls. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The second thing I encourage you to do is to do what I call practice spiritual breathing. And by that I mean that when we stumble, when we just feel that God is nowhere to be found, it just seems as though we're far away from God, just stop and spiritually breathe and take God in and allow him to be your shepherd. And I hope it's through his word that you do that. Don't flail and trash about it. Breathe spiritually. Hear God speak to you. Listen to his voice. Come to him and come to him knowing that he is there for you. The third thing is that we can begin each day asking God to reveal his paths of righteousness. God wants to do that. He wants to lead you in the path of righteousness. When you wake up in the morning, just say, Lord, take me down this path of righteousness. Because I know if I go down my own road, I'm going to fail. I'm going to mess things up for myself. Lord, lead me in your path of righteousness. Because there is no other path of righteousness. And finally, end the day with a moment of reflection. And take a moment just to give God the glory and the praise for what he's done. And I bet that as you lay your head down on the pillow at night, you will know his comfort. You will know his strength. You will know his peace that passes all understanding. You will know his joy. You will know that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. And so these are things that as we study the 23rd Psalm and as we look at the significance of each and every word here in these verses, that this is something that can change our lives. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures at verse 2. And we cannot know those green pastures until we have a relationship with Jesus. And then he restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we give you thanks for this great, powerful verse that you're in the business of restoring our soul, of leading us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Help us, we pray, to know that and to know your word, which will set us free. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.